Lord willing, this particular lesson tonight on the eighth commandment, which is found in verse number 15. Okay, so we're looking at God's moral law for all generations in regard to the Ten Commandments. First commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, shows us the right priority we need to have. The second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, shows us the right worship we need to follow even today. The third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, shows us we need to have the right language as we speak and communicate with people. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, shows us the right remembrance of the holy. Remember the phrase, keep it holy, is what the kind of the key is that we can continue to do even today. Though we don't celebrate or we don't take the Sabbath as a day of worship today, the first day of the week is our day of worship based on Christ, but keeping holy or committing the things of life to being holy to the Lord, that's still certainly applicable today. The fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. We saw the right family relations, how God has planned out for us to grow up and learn of him and follow him. When things don't always go right, guess what? God's still good, amen. He can still help us accomplish things for him and help people do the right thing. But we need to know what the model for the right family is, and God showed us that. Then we looked at the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. We looked at the right respect for others, the right respect for others. Kill tends to be driven by anger or some type of divisive feelings and so forth. And we looked at that very, very introspectively. And thankfully, I don't think any of us can say we've done that, but we can do it in the heart. We can do it in the heart. Even Jesus says that's something we've got to avoid. Then we looked at the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, the right morals. How do we treat one another of the opposite gender? And there are only two genders, amen?
Amen.
And God says we each have a way to behave, and we are to treat one another with that respect that he points out in the Word of God. We've been looking at the right respect for private property. That's thou shalt not steal, verse number 15, thou shalt not steal. We saw God's principle of stewardship, where God owns everything, and yet he wants man to have oversight and do his take care of his creation in the sense of guide it in the way he would have him to do. Does man do a good job at that? No, we don't do a very good job at that. And I'm not saying we're, I'm not saying tree huggers and all that stuff. No, what I'm saying is to do it God's way, as the Bible says, have dominion over them. We don't do the best of jobs of that. And yet God still uses his command to keep us in mind that it belongs to him. It still belongs to him. God's principle of compassion and personal property. We looked at the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. Three different views came out of that. A communistic view, yours is mine, I will take it. Who's the characters in the story that fit? Yours is mine, I will take it. The thieves. The capitalistic view, mine is mine, you're not my business. I'm going to mind my own. Who followed that view or personality in the story? The priest and the Levite, they saw him. One of them walked over to him and looked at him, and they just walked by, although they had perhaps an availability to help. Then the Samaritan takes the compassionate view, which is the biblical view. What's mine is mine. God's given me freedom to decide, but I will help you. As God has helped me, I want to help you. And that is the idea that he wants us to consider. Then we looked at God's principle of work. In Ephesians chapter 4, we saw the old man or the sin nature's side of it, a sinful behavior, and then we looked at how God wants the new man to behave as Jesus would behave, following his behavior. A renewed motive is the most important part, renewed heart before God, and work cures stealing, according to that verse in verse 28. Let's take a look at it before I try to quote it, but I don't know it. Let's go. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's take a look. Well, okay, there we go. All right, so verse 28. Let's read it together, just so I know we're not asleep yet. Verse 28, let's read it together. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So God's word tells us, here's the answer, and he goes in earlier in verses 18 through 22, how we are to put off the old man, be renewed, the Bible says, in Christ, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 23, and then put off the old man, or no, I already said that, put on the new man, all right. So praise the Lord, God's given us a way to do that, and when regards to stealing, he says, here's what you do. You stop stealing, for one thing, get renewed in your heart and mind, and start working not to earn millions of dollars and so forth and pile up the wealth, but earn so that you can help somebody else. That's the motive that needs to change to help cure stealing. Let's take a look at the tithes, God's principle of tithing. Tithing, which also is what? Tithing means what in the Bible? Tenthing, or a tenth. And we looked at how God uses sacrifices, vows, and we'll see tonight, firstlings, to accomplish that. Sacrifices, tithes, vows, and firstlings. Sacrifices we looked at were the burnt, the heave, and the freewill offerings, or sacrifices that were made through a blood sacrifice or alongside a blood sacrifice. The idea with the burnt is to have atonement for sin that the priest would take care of. The heave sacrifice is consecrating what he's given me to him in a symbolic spiritual manner. Again, the priest would do that. The freewill offering, however, was done by the worshiper. The individual would slay an animal out of love and gratefulness. We saw God told his people, when you enter into the land, do these various offerings, but the freewill offering as well individually in gratefulness for the blessing of the land. Then we looked at tithes. This is consecrated to God, giving for furtherance of worship. These are dedicated monies for tabernacle upkeep in the Old Testament and were essentials for the Levites as they took care of the tabernacle, the various responsibilities they had. We read Numbers 18, verse 26. Let's look at that again. Yeah, we got time. We can do that. Numbers chapter 18. Let's take a look there. Something interesting at the end of that verse. That Satan wants us to forget. I think. Verse 26, or Numbers 18, I'll read it for us. It says this, thus spake unto the Levites, and say unto them, when ye take of the children of Israel the tithes, which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. So everyone in Israel was responsible to give back to the Lord for the way he's given to them. Now, what happened to Israel? Why did they have a lot of troubles in the future? Malachi chapter 3, that we did not look at. Let's go there. Malachi chapter 3, that God says is one reason why Israel was finding themselves spiritually weak, thirsting for God, missing out on his blessings, etc. Chapter 3, take a look at verse number 6. Verse number 6, here's what it says. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. So let's start out with that. God tells Israel, because I love you, and I told you from the very beginning, you're not wiped out. Although you've been through much tragedy, You have been displanted from your land. You become refugees, etc. I want to see you blessed, but remember who I am first. Then he says in verse 7, even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? So what are they asking him? Okay, we've fallen away from you. What do we need to do? Okay, Lord, how do we get started here? What's a practical way to get started? Take a look, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? He says, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? And he goes on another issue that they were dealing with. But the Bible tells us, here's a practical way to come back to me right away. Obviously, gather together, and that's the idea there. But gather and bring the tithe, bring the tenth that I've commanded you to do. This is where maybe this phrase came from here. Put your money where your mouth is. You know, you want to get right with me. Here's the way God says, I want you to start. This is not the end, but this is a start. Will you consider that? So something interesting to consider. Certainly God tells his people in the New Testament that we are still to be giving back to the Lord. The Bible does not give us a percentage in the New Testament. You'll not find, the word tithe is mentioned, but it's later on. It's referred to the Old Testament when it is mentioned. But in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, it's proportionate as the Lord has blessed, as the Lord has blessed you. Sometimes we want to forget, or I should say, not recognize how God's blessed us sometimes. We say, man, God's blessed us, but you know what? I deserved it. I worked hard for that. Well, praise the Lord. Who gave you the strength to work hard for it? Who gave you the opportunity or whatever? And those are things for us to consider as we give to him regularly. And that is at the church, at the church. So praise the Lord for these other organizations. I really like Samaritan's Purse. How many know what I'm talking about? Samaritan's Purse is a ministry that Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, heads up, and they do amazing things. And praise God, we've actually given some to them when the hurricane hit down south there last year, and I believe it was used to help people. But that's not who we should regularly give to, God says. It's still give to me, and I've ordained the church to be the place where the tithe or the giving is to be given regularly on the first day of the week. So that's tithes. Now let's continue on. Leviticus chapter 7. Leviticus chapter 7. So I do have some other verses here if we could have help. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 4. Who would look up Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 4? All right, Brother Doug's got that. How about Acts 18, verse 18? Acts 18, verse 18, and Daryl's got that. And then Gunner, Nehemiah chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. 35 and 36. Exodus 13, who could look up Exodus 13, verses 12 through 14? Kim, thank you. And then the last one is Revelation 2 and verse 4. Revelation 2 and verse 4, who would look up that? Sister Carolyn, thank you. We're in Leviticus chapter 7. Let's take a look. Verse 16, verse 18. We're talking here, the Bible's talking about something else that we can give to the Lord. It's in verse number 16, and follow along. I'll read it for us. Yes. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth his sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted. Neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. Let's talk about vows for a moment. Vows. Vows are, here's the blank on letter C, are verbal promise to God. A verbal promise to God. Here in Leviticus 7, it is coupled with a peace offering or a sacrifice. It is often done that way in the Old Testament. It's coupled with a blood sacrifice of sort. All right, God, thank you. Praise God for your forgiveness. I vow to do this. Now, what did he say in order to remember that vow or to get it done? He said, remember in verse 16, that whatever is with that particular sacrifice, it had to be consumed. It had to be consumed, either burnt up or consumed that day. Could not wait on it. So that gives us an interesting conversation. So a vow is a promise to God. A vow is a task that is to be swiftly carried out. It is not a votive. Votive, V-O-T-I-V-E. How many know what votive candles are? You probably have a million of them in the closet somewhere, you know, or down where you didn't even know you had them. Votives. A votive is a token to a deity. A token to a deity. The token would be the candle, the light. This is what many religions use. They use fire or light or incense or whatever. They burn it as they make prayers. A lot of the idolatrous religions like Hinduism and Eastern religions, they will have temples filled with vegetables, meats, etc., and they'll sit out there for days with the idea that this is going to appease this God that they're praying to, etc. And by the way, do we have religions that are prominent in America that would fit this type of worship of a God that they hope hears their prayers? The one particular comes to my mind is Catholicism. Every Catholic church, if you walk in, you'll see this rack of candles. All of it is designed for prayer. I don't know if you've been Catholic. I've been in a Catholic family a long time, so I know this is true. The idea is that you light that candle as you say a prayer, and hopefully that flame or whatever, it will get it up to God, you know. That's not what my Bible tells me. Does it tell you that? No, that is not the way that we offer prayers as well as thanksgiving to God. Candles are nice for seeing things, but they are not, in God's word, used to get any better hold of God or not. So just to mention the difference, a vow and a votive, they're not the same thing. They're not the same thing. God's word talks about the vow. A vow, number two, infers fulfilling a commitment to God. If we make one, we're inferring that we're planning to follow through. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 4.
When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed.
Okay, thank you very much. And we see this carried out in the New Testament, Acts chapter 18. This is the Apostle Paul, Acts 18, verse 18.
His head to Centuria, for he had a vow.
Okay, there the Bible tells us in Acts 18, the Apostle Paul, we don't know exactly what the vow was, other than maybe getting to his final destination, but he shaved his head in order to remind himself and maybe others that this is what I'm doing for the Lord. I want to follow through with it. So a vow infers a commitment to God. Let me ask you this. Does that mean we should shave our head? The ladies are going, no, ain't gonna happen. Do we make vows today? Let me ask you that. Are we invited to make vows today? Is there a time at church where we are invited to make a vow today? Is there a time in the service where we are invited? Maybe at the end of the service during the time of invitation. Invited to say, Lord, what you want to do, I want to do. I am committing to you to do this. How many have ever done that but did not follow through? Don't raise your hand, because I know the answer. The answer is all of us. There has been times we've made vow that we didn't follow through. We were serious. We commit. We, you know, Lord, we want to do this. And whatever happened, maybe time or busyness or family situations or whatever it was, took our attention away from that. You know, God doesn't forget what we ask him to do through us. God doesn't forget what he asks us to do through us. But he's merciful, amen. He's merciful. So a lot of times what he does is he reminds us, hey, guess what? Guess what? I haven't forgot. So let's get to it. Let's get to it. Let's go do it. Let's take care of that situation I laid on your heart to do. Vows, God does expect us to follow through. Number three, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. By the way, that's not the only time you can make a vow, obviously, you know, in your personal time with God or in other situations as you make a commitment before the Lord. God wants to see and help us accomplish it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And this is a list of things the Lord would have us to do regularly as Christians. First Thessalonians. Okay, there we go. So we'll read this responsively, please. I'll start with verse number 3. If you would read verse 4, we'll go back and forth. Verse 12, that's where we're going to stop. Verse 12. So we're looking at being committed. Here's the thought here. Let me give you the blank. Committed to Christ-like conduct and behavior. A vow is being committed to Christ-like conduct and behavior. That whatever you want, you would do, Jesus, that's what I want to do. Help me to follow through. Verse number 3, and then you'll read verse 4 back and forth. Verse 3 says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication.
That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor.
Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God.
That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified.
For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness.
He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit.
But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another.
And indeed ye do implore all the brethren which are here in all Macedonia, but we receive
and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you.
That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing.
All right. So the Bible tells us that vows or living according to commitments to God is part of the Christian life for us even today. We looked at some of these verses 4 through 7, when we looked in the earlier studies there, I think on, I forget which one it is, right family relations maybe, or right morals. But here we see it's a continuation of a long list of what God would expect us to do in front of others, how we decide, how we behave with one another, as well as the unsaved. Notice the last couple verses we looked at, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. How can you be a good witness to other people? Just live for the Lord. Just do what he says. And God says, does that mean that everyone's going to walk, drive by Grace Baptist Church and say, man, that's a great place? No, they're not. I was talking with Daryl this evening right before church, and as he and Eric went out, passed out some flyers the other day, two people, but two out of 100 maybe, right, refused the flyer, as well as one gave them a pretty clear understanding that they don't want them around there today. Hollered at them. How many have had somebody holler in your face about the gospel, or if they understood your stand for Christ? But the truth of the matter is, that's one amongst many. That should not stop us or discourage us. In fact, we ought to be thankful that somebody's seeing something. Though we want to reach the heart, but because we stand for the Lord, we can take glory in His name, not the other way around. He doesn't take glory in ours, we take glory in His. So praise the Lord, live the conduct and behavior of Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy. This is where all these are coming from: sacrifices, tithes, vows, and firstlings. Let's do that. Deuteronomy. So if we hear a rumbling from back there, it's just kids. If we hear a rumbling from over there, we're all going to head to the hallway, okay? Deuteronomy, let's take a look here. Chapter 12, and it was verses 5 through 7 we were following there. Again, the Bible says here in verses 5 through 7, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto the habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings, and your sacrifices, and your tithes, and heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Now the Bible talks about the firstlings. Firstlings being the first. Dedicating the first. That's the blank there. Dedicating the first is principle on that. And what is it he says the first is to be dedicated? What firsts are they? Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 35 and 36 tell us about that. Okay, thank you. So remember, these are sacrifices. The sacrifices, he says in Nehemiah, are to be the firstling of the ground, the agricultural produce, fruits and vegetables, etc. The firstlings of the male animal, that's the blank, male animal. Again, that's a little more to our house. It has a little more meaning, but we can do without it. And God says he needs us to obey him, and we'll do that. Then he says, the firstborn of our sons. Ooh. Did God expect everybody to sacrifice their son? How did they do that? Well, Exodus chapter 13 gives us the answer. Exodus 13, verses 12 through 14, tells us how God expects man, his people, the Israelites, to fulfill this command, this sacrifice.
That thou shalt set apart unto the Lord which thou hast, the males, shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break its neck. And of the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What is this? That thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage.
Okay, thank you. So we see that God provides a substitute payment or a sacrifice in place of. And what did he say could redeem? He said a redeem could redeem an ass or a donkey, but it also, in other parts of Scripture, uses the same animal to redeem the firstborn son. What is that animal? It is a lamb. It is a lamb. Now, not everybody had lambs. Remember Mary and Joseph? Do you remember the lamb they brought to the temple when Jesus was born? I don't remember that one either. What did they bring as a sacrifice for the firstborn? A turtle dove. Yeah, because God allowed the poor, and he had varying degrees. If you can't afford that, if you can't do that, this is acceptable, this is acceptable. And the dove is what they brought. So the idea is, however, as a firstborn, God expected a sacrifice, dedicating the first. In a spiritual sense for us, yes, we can surrender our children. That's definitely, I think, applicable. But in a spiritual sense, we want to look at it in this way. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. I think you can apply it in many ways. But tonight we're going to apply it in this way. What we all can do is dedicate our thoughts, our motives, that first desire, planting godly motives for a spiritual, that's the blank, spiritual harvest. And we read about this in Galatians chapter 6. Take a look at verses 7 through 10. It says this, Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. What is it we want to give God at the very beginning of the day? Give him your heart. The Bible talks about the heart, but we know that in a practical sense, our thoughts, our motives, our desires, what God you want to do with them today, would you lead and direct in that way? He says, if you leave me those things, you can see a spiritual harvest from those things. One particular church that was a great church, in fact, we look at the book that was written to this church as a model for kind of Christian doctrine. It really shares with us how we are to conduct as a church. But in Revelation, Jesus didn't feel the same way as we did. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, this is the church at Ephesus. Sister Carolyn's going to read it for us. Okay, thank you. So the Ephesus, he gave all kinds of commendation to them. You're doing this right, you're doing this right, this is good, this is good. But none of it right now is coming from here. None of it is for me, from the heart. And I need that. I need that. So let's give God our heart today, amen? Give him what he's asked for. We can follow through on these things. We'll start the ninth commandment next time. Anybody know what the ninth commandment is? Let's see. Are you correct? Chapter 20. And it is, whoops, I'm in Genesis. Yeah, right off the top of my head, I couldn't remember myself. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Yes, correct. We'll look at that next time. Let's go find a prayer partner. Sometimes ladies with ladies, men with men, if you can. Let's pray.